Welcome to a presentation by Jeff Johnson entitled What Makes Eric Run?
Learn, even through watching sports, as Paul here is now sharing with us what he learned in watching sports. Of course, the end of every sport is the end to win. It's the goal to get there. The Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl. The Olympics, to go for the gold, to get that end reward. I like the awards ceremonies, you know, when the winner is on the top box and they put the flag down behind him and then begin to play the national song of that country, a very moving ceremony. I know we have a high school and junior high, and I've been to the awards ceremony. It is kind of a moving time when they call your name and you come up there, you know, and you get your trophy, and they stand there with their trophy and they go, "Yeah, this is mine." Some of them are, you know, trophies are bigger than they are, but they hold them and they're so proud to have it. Have you ever been on the receiving end of one of those ceremonies? Have you ever been a part of that? It is an awesome, awesome feeling. So Paul says, run to obtain. Run to obtain. I don't know how many of you saw years ago Chariots of Fire. It was a Christian film about a man who was, I think, a good illustration of what it means to run to obtain. His name was Eric Little. And Eric Little, when running his first race, I remember it so vividly. It was raining that day and he took off running around the track and everybody was running. And then finally one of the guys pushed him down and he hit the mud. And as he looked up, he saw everybody taking off. And he said, "That's it." And he got up and he started to run, full of mud, all wet. And he went all the way around the track. And that song's blasting. And it's in slow-mo, you know, as he's running. And you're just going, "Wow, look at that guy." And he won the race. He strove to obtain. He did obtain. He won. So spiritually run, Paul is saying here. Don't be weary, but spiritually run to obtain. Now, he's not talking about obtaining salvation, because we know that salvation is a free gift of God. Paul's talking about those who are already saved. He's talking to us, those of us that know the Lord. Because remember, only the Greeks were allowed to be in the games back then. For some of you, it's time to get in the game. You still are sitting on the sidelines. You're still watching all of this, and you're not really feeling a part of it. Well, God is calling you out this day to really become a part of His plan in these end times. Paul's emphasis is on the reward. Jesus talked about coming back, giving His rewards. Chuck already mentioned in Hebrews chapter 1 how we're surrounded with a great cloud. Hebrews 12 verse 1. We're surrounded with a great crowd of witnesses. He says, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." To be His witnesses in these final times, so many are in the stands watching. He says, put off those things that will hold you back, that will cause you to fall away. That sin that has been nagging at you, that sin that has been hanging upon you, put it off, he says. That affair that maybe you're thinking about or you're near at getting involved with, put it off. Get away from it. Flee like Joseph did. Whatever it is that is hanging you up, maybe it's spiritual laziness. Maybe you're just kicking back and really becoming that couch potato and just watching all things go by, but never a part of it. Run with patience, Paul says. Be disciplined. Pace yourself. This life takes commitment. God is causing us all to see that, and it takes perseverance. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we must keep our eyes upon the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and what? The things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and of His grace. Look unto the Lord. Then Paul, in 1 Corinthians, going on here, in verse 25 says, "And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Years ago, my kids went to the movie Rocky. I guess they just played it recently. All the Rockies to 17 or whatever, how many they have. But this is the first one. And my kids come home and they saw this film and they tell me about this guy's fighting and all. And I go, oh, I don't want to see a guy punch out another guy. I don't like watching the fights anyhow. I just can't get into it. And they said, Dad, you got to see this film. I said, oh, man. All right, I'll go see it. And when I saw it, I realized what they were saying. It revealed a guy that lost the eye of the tiger. He started to mess around. Yes, he won, but then he started to kick back and get fat. And he began to cruise. And because of that, he couldn't win anymore. He needed to get the eye of the tiger back again. It's a good example of striving to win. He had to be temperate in all things. He had to get back into hours and hours of working out, of practice, and of going through weight control and trimming himself down to be lean, mean, fighting machine. And yet, you know, as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, I was in varsity wrestling and in high school, and I remember how we used to get out there. I used to wrestle 136, believe it or not, and I always show up at 138 on the scales. So I'd have to go to the bathroom and get my sweats on and run around the track and just keep running and sweating and trying to my best to get down to 136. Listen, Jesus never said it was going to be easy. There is sacrifice involved. There are hard times involved. Some of you are going through them right now. In fact, we know that the enemy knows he's got but a short time, so he's working overtime. So we need to understand the times that we're living in, that these trials and tribulations, don't think it's strange concerning some strange thing that is coming upon you. Everyone is going through it. Everyone that is seeking to be in the race. So many start with a bang and then run out of gas. They start off and they say, yes, I want this gospel. Yes, I want to receive it. And all of a sudden, where are they today? That's why Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. So many fainting these days. Because He is sufficient, isn't He, guys? He has always been. He always will be. But if you're too busy, if you're too lazy in your life, if you're too lazy to get into prayer, into the Word, if you can't find yourself getting up early and seeking the Lord and going to church and going to fellowship, I'll tell you something. The Bible says that Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Are you that next prey? Is he after you? You bet. He's seeking to sift you as wheat, Jesus said. We need to seek the Lord more than ever in these days. Remember, Jesus said, I'm praying for you. That scripture just blesses me to no end, that Jesus is praying for me. So the key word for any athlete is discipline. In fact, I found a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. It says that if a man also strives for the masteries, for the games, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? You see, the Bible says we got to play the game according to the rules. There's no cheating. No sneaking off and getting some steroids, you know. We know what happened to Lyle Alzado, a big hunk of a man who started to cheat. And he started to put this outward stimulant in his veins. And it caused him to deteriorate as a man. And now he's just a skin and bones. And it's terrible to watch. And we know what happened when you mess around with women, as Magic Johnson did. He's suffering with AIDS. It's going to take his life out. If you play, you pay. We've got so many lessons out there. Remember Jim Thorpe, years ago, gave back all of his gold medals. Why? Because he broke the rules. He played baseball for a few bucks and he got paid for it. And they found out about it. He broke the rules. We have no excuse because we have the rule book this morning. We have God's Word. God's given us His Word. We're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. And he'll try to get you off track, as Franklin was saying. He'll try to get you to sway off to one way or the other instead of serving the Lord, getting involved in the things of God. But we've got to strive. In fact, there's a scripture in Luke chapter 13, verse 24 that says this. Luke 13:24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. The Lord is saying, strive. Make an effort. Hang in there. Because all the brethren before us who have gone on to be with the Lord, they hung in there. And they're glad that they did. Don't give up. Don't throw the towel in. Hang in there. Press on. We have only a little bit more time here. It's almost over, guys. After all the time and effort you put forth, you know. For what? For a corruptible crown that fades? And these guys would build and pump and get ready and run that race and win that race. And they'd give them a little tiny crown of little leaves that, you know, would just fall apart. Is that what we're going for? I remember when I was in high school, I was in a surfing contest, and the guy that could beat me didn't show up, so I got the first place trophy. I said, yeah, look at this thing. Whoa, first place. This is great. And years went by, and I remember going out to the garage, and there it was. Made it a garage somehow. It was in a box, and I looked, and the arm had broke off. I said, oh, man. So I got some duct tape, you know, the black tape, and put a wetsuit on him. And got the arm back on. And he looked great, and I set him up there again. And today, I don't know where that thing is. I don't know where it is. It's gone. It was a corruptible crown. If we seek to gain our lives, the Bible says, we're going to lose it. Listen, the glory and the honor fades quickly in this earth. God doesn't need weekend warriors. He says, you lose your life in me. Sell out. The end result, the goal, is where we're going. To win. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the Lord. He is coming. I love what the Bible says when Jesus says, when I look at you, I'm going to say these words to you, and I'm looking forward to hearing them. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. And you talk about a Toyota kick, you know. I'm going to jump for joy and run on in. There is reward that is coming. In fact, over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, in verse 27... He says, for the Son of Man shall come in glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. There's an award day coming. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Reward ceremony. To be approved by the Lord. To receive that saying from the Lord. Wow, what a day that's going to be. An incorruptible crown. Chuck said it. Only one life soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. Martyr Jim Elliot, who was a man that was killed because he sought to reach these Indians, he said this, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. The crown of glory. And I looked up this crown of glory. I was interested, what does the Bible say about this crown of glory? And I found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, for what is our hope, Paul said, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For you are our glory and joy. Souls are in the balance today. Paul's saying, just getting the gospel out. And then seeing those folks in heaven. Wow. Seeing that one that you witnessed to at your job and you, all of a sudden we're separated from, and then see him in heaven. He said, you know what? Because of what you shared with me, I'm here. That's the crown of glory that I'm looking forward to. You know what? Jim Elliott's wife went back to those very Indians that murdered her husband and shared with the very man, and he got saved and the village got saved. Souls are in the balance. And then Paul says in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 9, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. We're not in this race for nothing. What is the motivating force behind your life? What is moving you? What got you here this morning? You know, I remember that when I went out to the police academy, I wanted to go through the whole reserve training. Because I was a chaplain and I wanted to know what these guys experience. I wanted to experience myself, and had no idea that they were going to lay on the PT that they laid on me, and that's physical training. I mean, I was the oldest one in the class. So all of a sudden I had fear. And the fear was that we're going to run the cardiac hill, the 5 miler, and it's coming up. And I definitely didn't want to be the last one. So I got up every morning and started running 1 mile. I got up to 1 mile, and then I could run 2 miles, and I was building towards the 5 mile. And believe it or not, as you know, I was running for fear. Fear drove me. And all of a sudden, here we are at the 5 miler, and I think there was 3 guys behind me. I went, yeah, you know, at least I'm not the last one. But what is driving you? As we fight the good fight, and this is a good fight of faith, guys. This is a real spiritual warfare. We need to use the weapons of our warfare that He has given to us. We need to take serious the battle that is before us. And I'm not just shadow boxing. I hope you're not. Paul said, I'm not. Paul said, I am motivated by His love. And His love constrains me because He loves me. Because He's forgiven me. I must preach the gospel. Remember back in Chariots of Fire, that star of that movie, Eric Little, he said, I run because God made me fast, and it brings Him pleasure, he said. You know, we were created for His pleasure. And once you come to know Him and His love, and realize that you were created for His pleasure, there is that constraining love that moves us. But we've got to get serious. And here's the problem with so many Christians in our society today. They're not taking this whole thing seriously. This is not a game. We're not to run half-heartedly just to get the shirt with the name on it. We're not to have compromise in our lives. But how many are enjoying that sin for a season and just kind of living with it? Beating the air, Paul said. Spinning your wheels. For what? Why do you want to spin your wheels? In 2 Timothy, again, Paul sharing with that young pastor, 2 Timothy 2, verse 21, he said this to Timothy, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set aside, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And he said, flee youthful lusts, guys. Flee it. But follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Here we are together, men of God, gathering together to receive from the Lord. He goes on in verse 25 and says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You see, we can receive today to give to others. We can begin to counsel them and to help them get out of the dust and get into the game. Get off the stands. And he says, they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So many are caught up in the snare of the devil. They're captive at His will. Some of you are here this morning who are held captive. Jesus wants to set you free. We are here to encourage one another. The Harvest Book is a blessing. For me to be a part of that is unbelievable. I can't even believe that God has done this work in my life. It's like a dream, man. I mean, it's like I look back and I just go, I still don't understand what's going on. It's beyond me, guys. And when I look at the Raul Reeses, the Greg Laurie's, John Corson's, and I look at these guys, I just went, wow. I'm not worthy, Lord. And yet, you know, where is the New Harvest Book? Where are those New Harvest boys? They're right here. You're right here. God's raising up a new crop. The wheat, the fields are white. Wheat harvests are coming in. Souls are being saved. And God's going to use you guys in this up-and-coming last great revival. It's here. There's a tremendous revival even going on. Praise the Lord. Paul says, "You make your punches count, huh? Don't beat the air. Make them count. Get involved. Get out of the stands. Get in the game. And start running the race." Man, there is such a move of God right in Israel today. I had no idea that there was over 4,000 Messianic Jews in Israel. And it's just breaking loose. And we need to start praying because there's a revival going to spread through that land like never before. As the young people there are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And nothing's fulfilling their lives. And yet Jesus now has come with 1,000. Anoint them, Lord. Raise them up. Reach the land. And finally, verse 27, 1 Corinthians, he says, "But I keep my body, or I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection." You see, here is Paul's secret of winning. Here is our key to victory. Paul purposed in his heart. He gave up his own rights. He beat his body down. He forfeited the temporal for the future glory that was coming. You see, that's a key, isn't it? Where are you at? Were you trying to get your roots grounded here? This is not your home. Forget the roots. Look up. And God will do a work in your life. Moses, remember? He could have had all the riches of Egypt. But he chose to get down with the people of God and to minister. He gave up those things of the world to serve the Lord because he knew the Lord was coming. "If any man," Jesus says, "come after me, let him deny himself." To win this race, to get to the goal, this battle that we're up against, I'll tell you, if you procrastinate, if you put off what God is pulling on your heart to do, if you stay church and just go to church and put your time in and go out and live your life and forget about what you're hearing and what God's trying to do in and through your life, to labor in prayer. Labor in prayer. Start having a prayer life. In the army every year, and his month to serve in the army was to be in the prison. And the prison held Arabs. And he said, "I can't believe it, how these Arabs will come in. They're not even Muslims. They'll come into the prison, and all of a sudden, you see them change, and they become Muslims. They're out there at 4:30 in the morning, rain or shine, cold, freezing, and they're out there praying 5 times a day. He's saying, man, if Christians can do just half that. He said it really was speaking to his heart. And here these guys are dedicated to Satan. Moved on in a spiritual wickedness. And what is the church doing? God help us. Remember this, that Jesus prays that our faith would not fail, that we would steady on. Beware of worldliness, because remember Paul said of Demas, "He has forsaken me and he has gone after the things of the world." He got pulled down. Jesus said, "Don't let this world be thorns and thistles to choke out my word from your life. Don't let it grow up around you. Persevere." Paul said, "I kept my body, my lusts, and my flesh under by keeping my soul on top." He sought the things of the Lord. The first step is to not be stubborn like a mule. And I know that as men, we are stubborn. It's a hard thing to move a man. But the Holy Spirit is here to move you to that place that is under the spout where the glory comes out. That you can just be drenched by the Holy Spirit, filled with God's power in your life. To be as the prodigal, to come to your senses. Remember the prodigal? The prodigal repented. He confessed his sins and he realized that he was wrong. And what does the good shepherd do? But he comes and he's a good shepherd because he knows that if we, like sheep, are walking in this world, we're going to pick up dirt. Guys, we pick it up. Sheep will pick up so much dirt that if the shepherd doesn't come and cut it off, they'll be cast. So the Lord is here with big shears. He wants to cut off the dirt out of your life, man. So you won't be cast. Come to your senses. The second step is learn to persevere through discipline. Use the word. Begin to be an Acts 2:42 Christian. They steadfastly, continuously got in the apostles' doctrine. They got serious about the life they were living. They got into God's word and used it against the enemy. Are the weapons of our warfare are what? Mighty to the pulling down of strongholds that are seeking to grab onto our lives and pull us down. You'll get the eye of the tiger back, I'll tell you that. And you'll have a burden for the lost as you allow God's word to have its perfect work in your life. To be as David as he ran at Goliath with that stone, man. Jesus said, Satan, it is written. And he continued to come back at him. Satan, it is written. To use God's word. Beware of distractions. Use God's word. There's a lot of books out. Be careful not to just take on books where you're forgetting God's precious sword that you need in your life to survive by. Help us to seek out our coach. And that's Jesus, right? To turn our eyes upon Him for the instruction and the training that we need to win. Why do we do all this? Paul made it very clear to Timothy why he did everything that he did. Over in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love His appearing. He's talking about us, isn't he? Those that love His appearing. And one more thing I want to share with you before I end. In verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 9, one more reason to press towards our goal. He says, lest by the any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The reason I press towards the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The reason I continue to go towards the goal. So that I would be a good representative of Jesus Christ to those around me. To take heed to your first love. Always going back and saying, how is my love relationship with the Lord? How is it doing? I need to stay close to Him. For many have been disapproved. And those who have been disqualified, I'll tell you this, their names are brought over the loudspeakers. Be sure that your sin will find you out and it'll be shouted from what? The rooftops. To be disqualified. Remember, our coach is praying for us. How many of you today want to join the race? How many of you today want to be a part of what God is doing in these last days? How many of you want to go home from this place and begin to get involved and begin to run the race? How many of you want to get involved in, say, a men's ministry, an ushering or something, but you need to first give your heart to the Lord? Jesus said, so when you are truly, truly converted, when you are truly healed, you'll be able to challenge one another. You'll be able to help your brothers. You'll be able to minister to them so you can press on. And it won't be long, guys. We're going to see the Lord. So it's time for us to steady on, to press on.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to gather as men, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is here to give us the power to run the race, to go towards the goal, which is your soon return. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But until you come, continue to show us how to run the race, how to be disciplined in our lives, how to continue to love you as number one, and to minister to our families, and to be a part of what you're doing in these last and final hours. Thank you for allowing us to be here to hear these things. Now, Lord, help us to put feet on our faith and to start moving for your glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
While listening to this tape, perhaps God's Spirit has been talking to your heart. If you felt the need to draw closer to your Creator, why not start today? God has provided a way for man to enter into relationship with Him forever through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Bible says that as many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the children of God. You too can receive Him right now by asking Him to forgive you of your sins and asking Him to come into your life and to be Lord and Savior of your life. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ into your life today, you can do so through a simple little prayer. Just open up your heart and repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I admit to you that I am a sinner. I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Please come into my heart and into my life. Please make my life acceptable unto you. And thank you, Lord, for your gift of eternal life. And I receive you this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me right now, you are a new person. All your past sins and faults have been forgiven by God, and in His eyes you are a brand new creature. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, as a newborn spiritual infant, you should seek the sincere milk of God's Word so that you may grow by it. So read your Bible and pray to the Lord often, and seek out other Christians and enter into fellowship with them. We'd love to hear of your decision for Christ. We'd love to give you a free study of the book of John on cassette by Pastor Chuck Smith. Jesus never turned a spiritual or hungry or thirsty soul away, but filled everyone who asked. So we'd like to do the same for you in His name. So please write to us at the address on this tape and tell us of your needs and what the Lord has done for you today. May the Lord bless you now and keep you in everything you do and everything you say. And welcome to the family.